Pastor Sam asked me some months ago if I would do a lesson. And I said, certainly. He said, pick out a passage and teach on it. Well, I didn't hesitate. I instantly said Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Because the night before, I was driving home from work and this passage came to mind, and I went home and read it, and then the next day he just so happened to ask me if I would teach and told me to pick out a passage, and I said, this one. And he kind of smirked and said, that one, huh? Okay. Now, after taking the time to write this, I see why now. It's quite a heavy one for somebody their first time. So we're going to be talking about what God's role is in our salvation. I'm a church member. Believe in God, be good, and go to church. God loves everyone, and we will all go to heaven. I'm a good person, and I believe in God. These are all some of the many things I have heard people say who are sure they are saved. In fact, at one point, I even thought or said some of these. But what do these statements all have in common in light of the idea of being saved? Well, none of them really mean you're saved. Yes, we all need to belong to a church. Yes, God does indeed love everyone. And yes, we all need to believe in that God is real. But doing and believing these things just mentioned doesn't save us. Today we are going to hear what the Apostle Paul has to say about salvation in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. So let's look at what God's role is in our salvation. If you have your Bibles, please turn to that. I can see you're all already there. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So what is God's role in our salvation? Well, first let's look at the meaning of salvation as described by Paul in verses 4 through 6, which says, but because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So we see here first that God took us from living a life of death and sin, beginning of verse 5, even when we were dead in transgressions, and made us alive with Christ. Second, verse 6, God raised us up with Christ. This speaks of our spiritual resurrection. And third, we were seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, end of verse 6. And this is speaking about us reigning with him in glory. So then, salvation, as described here by Paul, is God's loving mercy, which takes us from a life of death and disobedience, our transgressions, to a life of glory and honor in Christ and with Christ. How then does one find this kind of salvation that Paul is talking about? Well, I'd like to point out three ways. First, by his grace, God makes salvation available by means of faith. Second, God made salvation a gift. And third, because of God's desire to receive glory. You see, our salvation is a package deal. Jesus did indeed die for the sins of every human being, but his death alone never saved anyone. God offers the benefits of Christ's death to the world by his grace. But this doesn't mean that all are or will be saved. It is vital that we all understand this, because there are some who teach that if Christ died for all, then all are saved. Yes, the benefits of Christ's death are offered to all, yet only some will receive it through faith. Verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." We accept God's free gift of salvation that was provided by grace through faith. Another way then to say how we are saved would be, it is by grace through faith. So we see that Paul mentions two things here, grace and faith. What exactly is grace? Well, let's say someone came up to you and handed you $100 and said, "Here you go, I just simply want you to have this." And then they walked away. That would be a gracious thing to do. Now we know that God's grace is of much greater worth and importance than this example, but it's still a good description of what grace is. Grace is God's undeserved, unmerited favor towards us. Just like we didn't deserve or do anything to make that kind stranger offer us that $100, we also did nothing to cause God to extend His grace to us. He did it because He loves us and desires us to be saved. But we can't forget about or leave out the other important piece of all this, which is faith. If we take the money the stranger gave us, we are expressing faith or belief that what they said was true, that they just simply wanted us to have the money. In the same way, we accept God's free gift of salvation that was provided by grace through faith. So where does this grace come from? Or where does this faith come from? How do we get it? Well, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it tells us, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." God's word contains His faith. Salvation and all that is needed to be saved is totally from God, and all the glory goes to Him. So, by His grace, God makes salvation available through the faith He has given us. One author wrote, "Grace is not God's job, and faith man's, as if salvation is grace plus faith. The Bible declares we are saved by grace through faith. The source and origin is not of you. It is holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and only from God. The spiritually dead contribute nothing toward obtaining spiritual life. Faith is not something that we, on our part, produce and furnish toward our salvation, but even faith is produced in our hearts by God to accomplish His purpose in us. Poor sinners are not even able to go to God and beg the gift from Him unless He is already working in their hearts. God does it all for us and in us. We contribute absolutely nothing to our salvation. In no degree do we work or do something to save ourselves. Nothing so mitigates against God's grace as the self-righteous boasting and false evaluation of human potential, which asserts that we, in some way, aided the process. To know grace is to glory only in the Lord." So then, what's another way we find salvation? Let's look at the end of verse 8. Which says, "It is the gift of God." But what gift does the word "it" refer to here? The beginning of verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." The gift being referred to here is the entire main phrase of this passage. It is referring to both grace and faith together to equal salvation. Because of God's mercy and great love for us, He purposed to make it a gift. In other words, our salvation is given to us by God even though we did not deserve it. We did no works for our salvation. We did not earn it by anything we did. It was given to us freely by grace through faith as a gift. And since it is freely given, it must also be freely received. Just like the stranger in the store couldn't force you to accept their money, God cannot force you to accept His gift either. Grace, like any gift, must be freely received. God, by His grace, freely offers us salvation. He offered salvation to us out of love because He desires to save us. And another way that we find salvation is because of God's desire to receive glory. Look at the end of verse 9, which says, "It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." If salvation wasn't a free gift, but required our doing of something, or works, then all who are saved would be able to boast that they saved themselves. Verse 9 doesn't say, "because of our works, so that we may boast," but Paul is very clear. Romans 4, verse 5 says, "However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness." So you see, it is not dependent upon works. And because it is not dependent upon works, rather, it is faith, rather, it is all God's doing, He is the only one who can receive the glory. Some argue that faith is a work, and so simply by making faith a human condition for salvation, we are making salvation by works. The idea that faith is a work cannot be found anywhere in Scripture. But as we just read in Romans 4, verse 5, that anyone who does not work but simply trusts God who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. If faith were a work, then this verse would make no sense and would read, "But to him who does not work, but does the work of believing in him who justifies the ungodly, his work of faith is accounted for righteousness." And this is wrong. For an unbeliever to be moved from their natural condition of spiritual darkness to one of light and faith in Christ, God must open their eyes and impart saving faith to him. In our fallen and sinful state, we can't even respond to God's prompting unless he works in our heart for us to respond. Salvation is God's free gift to us. We cannot take any credit for our faith or the grace that God extended to us. Faith is the hand that receives the gift of salvation, but unless God has opened our eyes, none of us would have received that gift. Only God can be glorified for this loving and merciful act of taking us from a life of death, disobedience, and judgment to a life of glory and honor in Christ and with Christ. So you see, the good works we do don't get us into heaven. Rather, they follow us there. God is love, and he desires to receive glory in all he does. This incredible gift of salvation, as we just heard, is the greatest example of God's love for us, as well as his desire to receive glory. His purposing of salvation being a gift and not requiring any works on our part clearly establishes his love towards us. And God is the only one who could take any credit for any of it. So now that we know what salvation is and the way we find it, the next question is, what is God's overall purpose for saving sinners, for our salvation? Three things. One, to put on display his great love for us. Two, to glorify himself. And three, because we are his handiwork. God not only desires to receive glory in all he does, but he also wants to display his great love for us. 1 John 4, verse 8 teaches God is love. Not only does God love, love is part of his essential nature. Love is who God is, therefore he cannot but love. The overall message of salvation in Ephesians 8 through 10 also displays God's love. But let's go back a little ways to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, which says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in sight, in love." And in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, Paul says, But because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. I'd say those verses make the point very clear that God desires to save us because he loves us so much. So you see, one of the purposes for God saving sinners is because he desires to receive the glory for our salvation as a display to the whole world that he is a loving and merciful God. Many more examples of God's love can be found throughout the scriptures, but the only adequate reason to explain why God loves us, is found in his very nature. He is love, and his love for us as his created beings, his handiwork, as verse 10 says, ultimately brings glory to his name. Another reason for God's overall purpose in saving us is to glorify himself. We see how he gets the glory for our salvation at the end of verse 8 through 9. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now again, here the word "it" is referring back both to grace and faith, which precedes. Say a husband were to give their wife an expensive and beautiful diamond ring for no particular reason at all, but simply offered it out of his love for her. Who would the wife most likely thank, or rather give the credit to? Well, I'm sure it wouldn't be the jeweler who sold it to the husband that she would thank. Her husband, of course, would get the thanks or the praise for what he did. In the same way that God made salvation a gift, those who accept this gracious and loving gift can only give God the credit or glory, as he is the only one who offered it or made it possible. Salvation is totally of God, apart from any human works or merit. Salvation is a gift through the faith God gives and the grace God gives. This brings us to our next reason for God's overall purpose in saving sinners, and that is because we are his handiwork, as verse 10 says. See, when you or I create something or make something, we have a purpose or a reason for why we made it. God also has a reason for why he created us. Each one of us was created with a predetermined purpose in mind, as we see at the end of verse 10, which says, We were created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God prepared. When? In advance for us to do. We have been created in Christ for good works. When we were dead in our transgressions, we could do no good works at all that were pleasing to God. But now, as his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, we are able to do those things which are pleasing to him. Amen for that. Remember, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. We are only able to do works that are pleasing to God after we are saved. So if you have been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, you are a beautiful trophy in God's trophy case in heaven. The grace of God produces something beautiful. You are his beautiful poem, his handiwork. You are a new creation created in Christ Jesus by God. You can never be the same after Christ comes into your life. You now have a new relationship with God if you are in Christ and your home is in heaven. If you have an intimate love relationship with Christ, you will no longer set your desires on the things of this world, but only on God's glory. So we see that God's overall purpose for saving sinners here is to put on display to the world his great love and mercy towards those who accept his free gift of salvation, as well as his desire to glorify himself and because we are His handiwork, which He created in Christ Jesus. In our present reality, what is God's reason for making sinners His handiwork? Because He wanted to create something beautiful and pleasing to Him. Let's first see what Paul says about our present reality before we became saved. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Powerful words. So we see here that before becoming saved, we were spiritually dead in our sins. We lived by the unsaved world's standards, which is ruled by Satan, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and we were led by the desires that come from the nature and thoughts of those who are unsaved. And because we once lived in this way, we were deserving of God's judgment and wrath. But God made us His handiwork in Christ Jesus. What does this mean? It means Christ died for us and saved us solely because of His good pleasure. Those words are not only beautiful, they are life-saving. God reaches down to the dead, ruined, miserable, and trapped sinner living in sin, and He raises the dead. He brings us to spiritual life. So in our present reality, God made us His handiwork, created in Christ, to show, demonstrate, and give evidence of the greatness of His grace as demonstrated in Christ. He saves us for His glory. We are living trophies on display for all eternity. What God has done in Christ has made us a living demonstration of His saving grace for all to see. Just as an artist puts their work on display for all to see and marvel at, God too puts us on display as His living artwork for all to marvel at His mighty work. And as others see the work He has done in our lives, He is glorified and quite pleased. Maybe I'm going a little faster than I thought. God's reason for our salvation is also to glorify His Son, who led a perfect and sinless life, only to be mocked, hated, and eventually killed. But His death wasn't in vain. It was purposed by God and for a purpose. Christ's death removed God's wrath and judgment from us and fully paid the price for all our past, present, and future sins. His death bridged the gap that separated us from God before our salvation. Because of His death on the cross and the washing away of our sins by His blood, we are now able to come to God blameless and spotless. Thank God that He did not turn His back on us and justifiably exhaust His holy wrath on us. It is almost unbelievable just how rich in love and mercy He is. He reached down in His love and mercy and drew us back to Himself. He is working in the hearts of believers and transforming lives, but He is also working in the hearts of unbelievers right now to give them life. And if you are unsaved today and you are sensing anything happening in your heart, don't turn from this prompting, but yield to it in your heart and repent and believe on Christ. Have you stopped and poured your heart out to Him in thanksgiving for His saving grace? Always remember, He didn't have to save you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the loving way you care for us. We thank you for our salvation and the gift of your Son, Christ Jesus. We thank you that we no longer are objects deserving of wrath, but rather we are now your trophies, now able to do those things which are pleasing to you. Be with Pastor Sam and Jill as they are away on vacation, and also be with those who are unable to be here today. Be with each of us this week, Father, as we go out into the world in our daily lives. May we be an example and witness to others of your great love and mercy. We pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.